Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio, episode number 121. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Dotson, our other host today, the inimitable Joel Luckup. What's going on, Joel?
Did you call me?
I'm not going to explain it to you. You have to go look that one up.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
I'm glad I finally get to do this again. It's been a long time.
It has been a little while, and since we talked last, the Reds have actually started playing a little bit better. Who is this Cincinnati Reds team?
I don't know. Well, you know what? They kept saying early in the season, wait until we get healthy, and well, now they're healthy. So
mostly healthy, which we'll talk about later. But yes, and got healthy in a hurry. They won five in a row there, swept the Giants at AT&T Park. And just generally, the pitching been very good. And the offense, lo and behold, started hitting. We talk about being healthy, though, and since we're on the topic, and because I can't start off being too excited about the Reds, let's talk about somebody who may or may not be healthy, and that's Joey Votto.
What's our motto, Chad? We choose to be pessimistic. Is that right?
No. Something like that. Let me look that up. It's hard to be optimistic about Votto right now, though, is it not?
I don't know. See, I think to myself, man, he really looks like he's hurting when he swings the bat. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he's not making very many. He's not, he's still not making outs. At least he doesn't have any much power. I don't know. If the doctors and trainers don't think that he's at risk of like doing any kind of permanent damage, I don't see any reason why you don't just keep playing him until either he's too hurt to play or he just continues to play. I know that there's this feeling out there that he's abysmal, and most of that is because people tie a 10-year contract to every at-bat that he does. He's not abysmal. He's just not what we were hoping for. But if they're winning and if he is playing okay, if he's not really hurting the team's chances of winning, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be out there on a daily basis.
Well, there's so much information that we just don't have here. I'm like you. I'll watch him, and I think he just doesn't. He doesn't look right. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on internet radio. I do see that he's really playing terribly because his on-base percentage actually dipped below 400.
That's true.
On-base percentage going into tonight of 398. That's really nothing to sneeze at, and he's not hitting with any power, but he's not being unproductive at the plate either. So I'm not sure what to make of it. Looks to me like he needs to go on the disabled list, but what do I know? He says he's 100% the other day, and then of course they pinch ran for him last night in a crucial situation. It makes you wonder: is he really healthy?
Just got distracted. Carlos Quentin just had a major toot bland right in front of a pop fly. He just got himself toot bland, which is awesome. It's never a good thing when we're watching the game while we're doing this because it's very distracting. But anyway, my point was going to be, if you read really, you don't even have to read much between the lines on what Votto was trying to say. He's trying to say that if he's on the field, he expects to be productive. And if he's not productive, fans have a right to be angry with him, which I think is a respectable thing for a player to say. And I think him saying I'm 100% if I'm on the field is just saying that I still expect myself to be at my top level if I'm on the field. And if I'm hurt, if I'm not playing, then I'm, I don't know. Then he started getting into his whole, Votto Zen talking thing that right. He does. But really what he was saying was that there's no reason – that he's not lowering his expectations because of injury, and fans probably shouldn't either. I don't know that that's fair. I think you can still look at whether or not a player is hurting your team or helping your team. I think Votto is still, for the most part, helping the team, especially compared to who would be replacing him in the lineup. If him being out of the lineup meant more Ramon Santiago or more, really, I don't know what it would be at this point. More Brian Pena. I think Votto is helping the team, and so that's what you have to weigh. you can't weigh your expect, regardless of what Votto was saying. I don't think you can weigh your expectations of what a player should be that when he's hurt compared to, or should be when he's healthy compared to when he's hurt. You really just have to, the discussion has to be around, okay, is he helping the team or is he hurting the team?
Absolutely. You know, I understand what Votto was trying to say, and, you know, more power to him, but it's silly, you know. Mm-hmm. And the fact is Joey Votto, hitting, he's got, you know, a 129 OPS plus right now, which is good. And you take that out of the lineup, right, you're going to have Brian Peña playing more first base, you know, Ramon Santiago. Fans can get angry because fans are going to get angry. Mm-hmm. We all want Joey Votto to hit like the Joey Votto of 2010. I mean, obviously Joey Votto wants to hit like that. He's not that guy this year for whatever reason, and I don't know the answer to why he's not. It looks obvious that it's injury, but you know, no one's poking me on the shoulder and whispering in my ear what his real status is. So the fact is, we've got a first baseman who's an above average player. He's not as far above average as we want, but you know, he might be the best we've got right now, and the Reds are going to have to roll with him if he thinks he's capable of playing. And like you say, if he's capable of playing without further injury, if the doctors believe that, then it is what it is. You know, be mad at Votto because he makes a lot of money, I guess. But I choose just to you know, be happy with whatever we can get out of him, because the drop off when he's out of the lineup is so severe.
Even compared to how he's been, yeah, absolutely. I think it is. You know, it's. I always appreciate a guy who still, you know, has at least one of the on base or slugging skills. You know, if there's a drop off one way or another, when I start to worry is when a guy loses both. And obviously, I mean, Votto's has like a 370 on base percentage since he's come off the DL, which isn't, you know, Votto-esque, but it's still, much better than what you would get from pretty much anybody on the team. So having him in the lineup, I think, is still a significant, maybe not advantage, but a significant help to the team over what you would have in place. I mean, Brian Peña has been probably more than we ever would have expected from him, but let's be honest. He has a 287 on-base percentage. He's slugging 377. Votto's a better hitter than Brian Peña. He may not be an all-star caliber this year, but he is still a better hitter than what would be out there, and I think that's what's important.
Yeah, Peña is a nice player for a backup catcher. Joey Votto is the, you know, arguably, I guess, the third most productive offensive player on this team to this point. And so there's some value in being one right. of the top offensive contributors, even if it's not what we all expect. So, you know, we don't know what the real story is maybe, but I think at this point Reds fans are going to drive themselves insane if they just don't decide to be satisfied with what they're getting out of Votto, because what they're getting is still pretty good. It's just not Votto-esque. Well, to talk about someone who has been producing lately, just to sort of shift gears for a moment, because this really came a little bit out of nowhere, and really it continues to surprise me. Saw someone had posted last night on the Twitters that had the list of top wins above replacement numbers for the month of June. Number one in the majors, surprisingly, Mike Trout. That Nope. guy. Yeah, I know, right? Where'd that guy come from?
Right.
And number three in the entire majors in wins above replacement for June, Billy Hamilton. You know, are you as surprised as I am at not just that he's improved over the course of the season? We expected that. But, you know, in June, he 327 batting average, 348 on base percentage, 500 slugging percentage. He actually had three home runs. You know, in addition to being one of the, by some accounts, second or third most effective defensive player, defensive runs saved. I think he's second in the league right now defensively. So, hey, Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, you know, I think I had a small conversation on Twitter with Nick Kirby about this. I think it's great. I think it's, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Billy.
It sounds like you're getting ready to try to take something away from Billy.
No. I'm going to correct for expectation here, based on WAR, which his is inflated somewhat by his defensive numbers.
No doubt.
And especially defensive numbers within a month are a little, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's questionable. I agree.
And something what Nick and I were talking about were Billy Hamilton relative to Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce has also had a very good June as well. But I don't know I forget what the difference in war, but I think I want to say Billy had like a half a war or you know, advantage or something like that. And so I just want to point out that Billy makes a lot of routine plays that or plays that look routine that where he covers a large area because of his speed and he takes balls away from both Jay and both the left fielders. Well, the left fielders probably may not have gotten to those balls, but there were certainly some balls that Jay can get to that Billy's getting. That inflates his defensive numbers. And again, not trying to take away from Billy because that skill that he has is certainly there. It's just his numbers maybe look a little higher because he was getting to balls taking balls that maybe Bruce gets to, or Laura last year with Chu out there in center field, Bruce fields routinely as well. Because there are certainly areas on the field where good defensive players, if you have a good defensive right fielder and a good defensive center fielder, the ball is routine for both of them.
Right.
And who takes the ball over a small sample like a month can really make your numbers fluctuate. So all I'm trying to say is, yes, Billy had a great month, and I'm sorry to, like, I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm just trying to correct a little bit for the fluctuation that you might see in the data. Billy certainly had a great month. Offensively, I mean, you can't take away from what he did. He really was more than you ever would have, or at least I ever would have expected from him for a month. You know, he raised his batting average 30 points during the month, raised his on-base percentage about 22 points. So, you know, he's doing things to really help the team, and we see the results. You know, he scores a lot of runs. He gets on base. When he gets on base, he causes havoc. And I think it's great. So sorry for that little aside there. I hate to.
Yeah, you rained on the Billy Hamilton parade a little bit. Thanks a lot.
I did. I don't like people to be happy about things.
No, it's an argument that's well taken, certainly. And really, when we're talking about 27 games worth of data defensively, yeah, that's maybe drilling down a little bit too much to really be confident in that war. It just surprised me that he was up there so high. But you're right. The fact is, ignore the defense, which has been very good by everyone's account. Ignore the defense. You know, if Billy Hamilton has a .348 on base percentage, Billy Hamilton's an all-star.
Right.
And that's the way he played in June. So, you know, on the year, he's still, you know, his numbers are, you know, .281 average, .312 on base percentage, .402 slugging. You know, if you'd have told me before the season he'd have a .312 on base percentage, I'd probably take it.
Right.
You know, obviously you'd like a little higher, but he's been a positive contributor, and I'm really happy to see. It's fun to watch still.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is that you know, and some of this could just be the recency bias, but he appears to be kind of adjusting and learning the league and getting better in terms of the adjustments that he's making. Now, you know, he's probably going to go through a slump here at some point, and we'll see how he readjusts then to, you know, whatever changes have happened then and how pitchers are pitching him or whatever. But the fact is he seems very confident in what he's doing, and it's really makes me feel good about the fact that he may actually have a good future. You know, I kind of came in this year saying, okay, well, let's see what he does. I didn't have very high expectations in terms of what his numbers would be, but I had a feeling that, you know, I felt like, okay, well, let's just see how he handles this year. Because it's his first year, and, you know, first years can be, especially for a player of Billy's style, who he's so different than what, your typical player coming in. He's going to have to kind of find his own path through the game. So let's see what he's going to do, and then we'll adjust our expectations for what kind of career he might have. Well, at this point, I feel very confident that he's going to have a career, and it's not going to be just a, you know, a 1 or 2 year
novelty act.
Novelty act, exactly. You know, he may not ever be all-star caliber in his career, but I have a feeling that based on what I've seen so far and based on the kind of the way I've seen him make adjustments and try to do things a little better as the year has gone on, I feel confident that he's going to be the kind of player that can last a few years in the league.
Yeah, I think so too. And I wasn't always sure of that. And the problem with Hamilton really is that there are no comps. I can't figure out who to compare him to in Major League history, really. He's sort of a unique player that at least in recent Major League history, we've not seen very many players with his skill set. So, going to be a lot of fun to watch to see how he I think he's going to have a career too. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a career that turns out to be. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a moment ago Jay Bruce having a good June, and I think I don't think Marty Brenneman has noticed, but Jay Bruce had a really good June, and now all of a sudden you look, and all of a sudden, I sound like Tom there, to get Marty and Tom into the same paragraph here. All of a sudden, he's on the positive side of the ledger when it comes to offensive contributions, and not a moment too soon, but is he doing it as quietly as it seems like he is?
You know what was funny? I mean, there was somebody had posted or tweeted a quote from Marty. I don't listen to Marty a lot. Not that I have a whole lot against Marty. It's just that I'm usually watching the games, because it's partly my job. But that Jay looked bad in a game, and Marty really railed on him in that game, and I was beside myself on that because, you know, I had just looked at the numbers and Jay was really having a good month, and so I think that may be partly why he's quietly having a good month. I think maybe people look at his season numbers and they're like, oh, you know, he still only has 7 home runs or blah, 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 whatever. The other thing, too, is there were a lot of guys that had good months in June, so it was easy to be overshadowed. Todd Frazier had a really good month in June. Devin Mesoraco has come back to life again after a little bit of a doldrum. Even Ryan Ludwig had a pretty good June. So, I think that is somewhat overshadowed Jay and what he has done really over the last month, which is great. In some ways, it's best if Jay Bruce is putting up good numbers in quiet because – we love his hot streaks, but his hot streaks when he was hot and cold, all that, he got a lot of up and down publicity. Well, you know, if he's just doing positive things all the time, I think it's a good thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. A lot of times people claim, well, yeah, he had good numbers, but you look, he had a 3-week crazy, insane hot streak, and that made his numbers look better than what they should have been. No, in June, he's been very quietly productive and 300 average, 351 on base percentage, 540 slugging. So the power's coming back a little bit. And he's turning back into the Jay Bruce we expected.
Yeah, and I've had a few people say to me, well, he still hasn't had one of those patented Jay Bruce hot streaks where he carries the team. I'm still looking forward to that. And to them I say, if he does exactly what he did in June every month for the rest of the way, his numbers are going to look really good, and I'll take that over the hot
yes.
and cold every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I don't even remember where I saw it. It may have been an interview that he did with Trent Rosecrans. I can't remember. But just talking about the way he's trying to approach and he's trying to learn some new things this year and trying to improve himself at the plate. He thinks at the end of the year he'll look up and it'll be fine. But he pointed to the fact that his on-base percentage at that time was about 100 points above his batting average. And that's something that it's never been the case for him. And so it looks like maybe he's learning the strike zone a little better, learning how to swing at a pitch. And I think the way he put it was he may take a strike now and again, but I'd rather be 0-1 in the count than 0-1 in the game by swinging at a pitch that I can't handle and popping it up or something. So a lot of Joey Votto influence sounds like there. But maybe what we're seeing is that he's developing into a more efficient, a better hitter overall, rather than the hot and cold guy that we saw before. And he thinks that it's just taking him a little while to get there, according to that interview. But I guess we can be hopeful. Nobody knows. We'll look up at the end of the season and see how he's done. But despite a very low batting average, good on base percentage. I'm pretty happy with the Jay Bruce that we have right now.
It'll be interesting to see how the general public responds to,
yeah.
If he does become more of a Joey Votto type hitter, if they, you know, if they reject that, kind of how, I mean, not everybody, I don't mean to paint a broad brush, because it's probably a pretty, a minority of people who don't like Joey Votto's game, but,
a very vocal minority, which is,
right.
And I mean,
I mean his game based on last season, not his game based on, what he's done so far this year, which is, you know, obviously not up to the caliber that we would all expect for Joey. But it'll be interesting to see how people respond to Jay, especially if he gets rid of the dips and kind of becomes a more level throughout the season. I mean, it doesn't have to be perfectly level, but more level throughout the season, to the point that, you know, his numbers are fairly consistent throughout the year. If people are happy about that, or if people are upset, that maybe he's being too patient or whatever. So, I look forward to the internet arguments that it leads to.
Oh, and it will lead to internet arguments. Too patient. What a label to put on somebody, being too patient at the plate. How dare he try to find a pitch that he think he can handle? Okay, one more guy I wanted to talk about. I guess we could spend some time talking about Todd Frazier if we want, because Frazier's continued to be outstanding. I really hope to see Frazier on the All-Star team. But a guy that has not really slowed down, he did have a little bit of a mini slump, but continues to be very productive, is Devin Mesoraco. You know, I mean, he's up to almost 200 plate appearances now. Well, not he's getting there close to 200 plate appearances, but he's still killing the baseball. I think he leads all National League catchers in home runs, despite, you know, 70 plate appearances fewer than the other guys up near the top of the leaderboard. OPS over 1,000, if you want to use that measure. But this is not who Mesoraco is, but, you know, for a pretty sustained period of time, 48 games now, he's still being productive. What do we make of – any thoughts about Mesoraco? I expected a good season out of him this year. But he has really—he continues to blow me away.
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy. He's one of those guys. He's almost into that spot where every time he comes to the plate, I expect him to do something positive. Joey Votto's been that way for me for a long time. Adam Dunn used to be that way for me, even though, you know, he would strike out a lot. But you know, you just kind of had that feeling that something good was going to come up here, a home run, a walk, a base hit, whatever. And I'm starting to feel that way about Devin Mesoraco, which is good. It's nice. It's nice that it's coming out of the catcher position as well, too.
Hold on. I was struck dumb there for a moment. You mentioned Adam Dunn. So,
oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I need to learn. I need to learn not to bring that up. Because we need then you get all flustery and start getting the hot flashes there.
I know. I just a moment of silence. Yeah. Mesoraco has been a legit middle of the order hitter, and you know, still we're talking a pretty small sample size, but he's not come all the way back down to earth like I expected him, and he's making a case even himself to be on the All-Star team. Although there's some good catchers ahead of him, I'd be surprised if he makes it. But not that it matters. That's a conversation, an argument I always love to have about the All-Star game, understanding that it absolutely does not matter. Quickly, Todd Frazier by Fangraphs wins above replacements, about 3.5 win player so far this year. Baseball Reference, a little less, 3.3 wins. I thought that the guy that we were going to see out of Todd Frazier was probably somewhere, maybe slightly above what we saw last year. This year has been much better than I expected. Can we overstate how good Todd Frazier's been? I don't think we can, and I don't think we can overstate how important he's been to this Reds offense. He has been the straw that stirs the drink, and what a great season. He's another guy that I'm starting to get to the point. I was always frustrated, and still am sometimes, with his propensity to swing at anything, anywhere, anytime. That's not been the case as much this year, and I'm much more comfortable. When he comes up I want him coming up in these sort of high-intensity, high-leverage positions. Do you think this is who Frazier is for the next year or two, or is it?
I don't know. He certainly has made the kind of adjustments that he needed to make. Don Long has really helped him to lay off those pitches outside the zone, especially those down and away pitches where he ends up sticking his butt out and trying to reach them. So I think that's a great thing. And if he can keep that up, if he can keep doing that, I think he's going to be very productive. You know, I'm not going to make any predictions about him because I don't want to be wrong. I'm pretty happy with what he's done. I can't imagine where the Reds would have been or where they would be this year without him, because he really kind of has been that right-handed power bat that they've been looking for. He and Devin Mesoraco together have really kind of been that bat that they've been looking for a couple years. So it's nice to see that they developed. I don't know that Todd Frazier is going to be a 6-win player this year. He's, I wouldn't put money on that. But if he does, man,
wow,
that really helps make up for the fact that Joey Votto is not having a Joey Votto type season. That's for sure.
Well, and you remember before the season we talked about. It was really your theory. Don't let me misstate this theory, but it was your theory that the Reds' offense could be better than we expected by different players around the lineup bumping their production up a little bit to make up for the loss of Shin-Soo Choo, for example. And I think that Todd Frazier is one of the ones we talked about, because he had really a down offensive year last year. And 3.5 win player halfway through the season, I'd say yes, he's been very, very valuable. And yeah, he's a guy that makes up for the loss of maybe some contributions elsewhere around the lineup. All right, let's talk quickly, if we could, because we're going to try to make this a little bit of a shorter edition of the podcast tonight, because we got started late, which was entirely my fault.
We're going to blame it on the West Coast. You and I are old. We're getting old, and we just can't pull off these West Coast trips anymore.
Really, that's a big part of the problem, getting up early and dragging my butt to work and then having to stay up all night watching these games. I just can't handle that. Matt Latos is back. Talk about a tough luck loser.
Mm-hmm.
Last night in San Diego, the Reds give up one lonely single and still lose 1-0. That's hard to do. And poor Latos, who pitched outstanding. We had a conversation when Latos was hurt, and I even used the dreaded Tommy John term. Looks like Latos is back and better than ever, huh?
I don't know about better than ever. He was facing a pretty lousy lineup last night. So
I'm all right, rain on his parade too.
No, come on, come on. I'm the optimist here.
That's true.
I'm not willing to jump on that. He's all the way back kind of land. Whatever. I'm not willing to get there yet, but I will say that I'm very happy with what he's done. Given the fact that he kind of came in mid-season when hitters are already in their stride, it's a little bit harder for a pitcher to get going than at that point. He doesn't have the advantage of having a couple weeks where the pitchers are a little bit ahead of the hitters. So yeah, I'm happy with what he's done. He fits right into that rotation just like we need him to.
Yeah, and it's just 4 starts, but his numbers look good across the board. His fielding independent numbers look good. Everything looks good so far. So I won't say he's back and better than ever then. You've disabused me of that notion, but we will say that he's
back. Not sure. He's not new and improved. You can't be both.
But he has been effective, and that's yes. That's good enough for me. Another guy that's been pitching much better of late is my guy Homer Bailey. Another guy, we talk about Joey Votto getting the brunt of the criticism. Homer Bailey, how dare he sign that big contract in the offseason? And then after that, how dare he start off so slowly? But hey, Bailey's been pretty good.
Yeah, he pitched really well in his last start. I hope that he is able to keep it up. I'm wishy-washy on Homer Bailey. I don't dislike him. I also don't, he's the third best starter on the team. So
yeah,
hasn't been so far this year, but when he's on, he's certainly near that. So I just hope he pitches well for the rest of the year.
I think that, and I guess I could look up the stats. I don't know. I'm sure what they are now, the updated stats. But I did a piece not too long ago that he's been a little bit better than everyone thinks that he's been this year, because he was really, really bad early on, and he had a really hard time with the home run ball early on that he's not had since. His numbers look good. His whiff rates, he's causing swings and misses with every one of his pitches at a higher rate than he has before. His fastball continues to be, the velocity was up big last year, and it's remained constant up there. So I have reason to believe that Homer Bailey's going to continue to be pretty effective the rest of the season. But you're right. I mean, you know, in the end result, he's just the third best pitcher on the team. But I'm a Homer Bailey fanboy, I guess. And I think a third best starter that's as effective and as capable as Bailey is a really good thing. The number one starter on the team this year so far obviously has been Alfredo Simon or Tony Cingrón.
Of course. Well, no, Alfredo Simon. He has 10 wins.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Leads the team in wins. He's 10-3. He's clearly the best.
Yeah. Now, and you know, Alfredo Simon has been more than we ever could have dreamed, so I'm not going to criticize him in any way whatsoever.
Wait a minute. Let's rain on his parade. you know, his peripheral numbers keep making me think this guy's coming back down to earth at some point. You know, his fielding independent pitching numbers, he's not this good. When does he come back to earth? It's got to be soon. Doesn't
it? If they had a realistic fifth option, honestly, right now, if they had a realistic fifth option, I would consider trading Alfredo Simon.
That would be the very definition of trading high.
Yes. And that's exactly why I would do it. It's not because I want to get rid of Alfredo Simon, but I think it's because he is the kind of guy that you can get more for than his value.
Yeah, he'll never be worth more than he is right now.
Exactly.
I would say. All right. Well, you know, the Reds obviously have done well lately, won 5 in a row before losing last night, had won, 8 of 9, I think, and they're out in San Diego, got Milwaukee coming up at home this week. Halfway through the season, 82 games into the season, not counting tonight's games, you know, 43-39, that's probably, I guess, if you look up, if you hadn't watched any of the first half, you went to sleep the day before opening day and woke up today, that's probably about where I would have guessed the Reds would have been. Maybe a little better.
Well, I said they were an 87 win team.
There you go. Then you're right there.
And I'm right there, you know. So, I mean, I'm not in any way disappointed with the season at the midway point, especially because I really was starting to feel for a while there, I was starting to feel like, maybe this is just going to be one of those years that's going to go in the toilet for most of the year. So I'm very happy with the way things are.
Yeah, I think we've all had that thought. This is going to be one of those years where nothing's going to go right. And all of a sudden, some things have gone right. They're playing a lot better, putting some runs on the board. And again, you know, who knows? They're going into tonight, what, a half game out? Going into tonight's game, a half game out of second. Milwaukee, I'm not sure how they continue to play so well. They've got the best record in the National League at this point, and I really don't know how when I look at that roster. But they continue to play well. Give them credit where it's due. But do the Reds have a chance of getting back in this and winning this division?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, if they win tonight, there will only be 6 games back. You know, obviously everybody who's listening to this already knows the outcome of tonight's game, but we don't. So
yes,
we still have that hope.
right, exactly.
obviously if they win tonight, they're going to be 6 games back. 6 games to make up over the course of, 80 games is not, it's easy. I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's, completely within the realm of probability. You know, there have been teams that have made up 6 games with 2 weeks left. So, the season is far from over. The Reds are healthy outside of Votto, who really just looks painful to watch when he swings. But, you know, for the most part, they're healthy. And, you know, I think if you feel like being optimistic about this team, you have every right to be. I think there's reason to believe in them.
Yeah, hope springs eternal, and again, it's one of the common themes that you and I seem to come back on is, you know, baseball's supposed to be fun, and mm-hmm. You know, they're healthy now, they're winning some games. If you can't have fun watching this team, I'm not sure why you're fooling with it. If it's just to make you angry,
mm-hmm.
So hope springs eternal, amen. Any closing thoughts for us, Joel?
I think you just said it.
I think we must have just landed on the title of the podcast then. Joel, great talking to you again. You know, I'm sorry that it took so long just because of some things that were out of everyone's control. We actually had to take a hiatus last week because of life getting in the way a little bit, but it's really great talking to you again.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, schedules are going to do it to me again. I hope you and Bill have a couple good weeks of podcasts coming up and have lots of fun things to talk about. And, you know, I'll hopefully be around again at the end of July.
Yeah, you know, maybe the Reds will do so well that even Bill won't be so cranky.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. You know, Jill, I do appreciate it. Guys, appreciate all you guys for downloading and listening to the podcast. Don't have any idea why in the world you would download this and listen to us ramble on about the Reds, but do appreciate it. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. You can also go to redlegnationradio.com and subscribe via iTunes and via an RSS feed. If you like us, go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. If you don't like us, keep your mouth shut. And follow Joel on Twitter at JLUCKHAUPT. You got to spell that out every time because nobody's going to get that. And you can follow me if you want at Dotson C, DOTSONC. Follow Red Leg Nation at Red Leg Nation. And check out RedLegNation.com every day. I think we've got a pretty good thing going on. There's a lot of really good analysis there lately. So check it out every day. Joel, once again, thank you for being here. Thank you all for listening. For Joel Luckup, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.